Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Wrestle Talk Podcast. I am Chopper Pete Quinnell, and I'm joined, reuniting. The boys are back together. It's LIW. It is Tempest. Hey, bud.
The boys are back in town.
Yeah.
This is the worst, I was going to say variant of Tempest, but that word is too apropos at the moment, it seems.
No. Not
this
that.
This is COVID Tempest, sitting in the dark. So as to not bother my partner.
Legitimately really ominous to just sit there. Because when you had your hands up, it just looked like you were a floating head that was just being held up by your hands. There's nothing else.
Maybe
you're wearing
I am.
A black t-shirt on a black background.
Maybe I am, Pete. Good Maybe God. I am.
No. It's like you were wearing an invisibility cloak. That's what it was like. But just across your body and just leaving your head exposed.
Yeah, it's like when Harry puts it on for the first time. He's like,
exactly.
My body's gone.
My body's gone. Bloody hell. Anyway.
It's all too much. I don't know how far back the light will go. If I just like push myself away. I just
oh my
disappear.
God. Oh my God, this is so creepy. Great audio content for all the audio listeners now. If you want to see the video version of this, you can become a member on the YouTube channel, or you can become a pledgehammer on our Patreon page. So there you go. You can watch the video version of that and see how creepy it was, because it was quite creepy. Well, aside from the obvious, Tempest, how has your Christmas been? How's New Year? How's all that stuff gone?
Quite well, really. You know, quite well indeed. I've got not a whole lot to complain about until a few days ago. Christmas was fun, as is, you know, normally the case. Afterwards, I've basically been in. Yes, roast potatoes did make an appearance.
Yeah. Nice.
It was fantastic. Yeah. Wonderful roast potatoes, as well as a lovely Eggs Benedict breakfast. Had a lovely mimosa with it. You know, getting a little bit of a buzz going at like 10 a.m. You know,
it's good, isn't it?
It's Christmas. It's Christmas.
Yeah,
but yeah, a lot of good stuff, a lot of good times had by all. Otherwise, I've basically been in hotel rooms since, which has been, you know, if not for the possibly deadly fatal virus going around, it's been a pretty pleasurable experience. So I'm gonna give the year so far a thumbs up, despite spending all of it having to deal with this Transformers Cody tattoo Omicron Decepticon variant.
So I was actually looking
back there. There's a giggle coming from this room as if it needed to be more creepy. Laughter coming from the dark.
This is gonna be like just comes around. This is gonna be your barometer to know if your jokes are landing. Is there just be a little giggle in the background? Yeah. You're having your own piped in noise,
Tempest. I've got a life track. I've got a laugh track behind me.
You're piping in noise, Tempest. It's the worst. I was actually looking into this, not to talk about COVID for longer than we need to, but I was looking into like the why things were named like Delta and Omicron and stuff and all the Greek alphabet thingies. Turns out we've had loads more variants that we just haven't heard of. I was like, why did they skip to Omicron? Omicron is like really low down in the alphabet. And it's like, oh no, we actually have all of the other variants before it. We just haven't heard about them because they're not that prevalent. So that's fun. It's cool. Anyway.
This one is the one that just decided to be an asshole and really just ramp everything up and ruin everything again. Everything's shut down in Ontario here again. Mm-hmm. Like we're basically in full lockdown now, which is real fun. Considering I'm not at home.
Real good. Yeah, nice and fun. Yeah. We are not locked down at all. We probably should be, but we're not. Fun. Let's actually talk about some fun stuff. Let's tell you what. Let's transition away from the sad stuff. Let's talk about NXT to start with, because it was a decent show. Gonna have some fun talking on this podcast, talking about a good show, and then we're gonna come back to the outro. We'll talk about some more stuff that was fun. Yeah. So let's talk about NXT, because we've got a new NXT champion. Hot damn, Bron Breakker, the Magical Wizard, is your new
the Magical Wizard.
Yep, that's what I said. I'm sticking with it. Is your new NXT champion? Here's the show. And new NXT champion, Bron Breakker, your new NXT champion, defeating Tommaso Ciampa in the main event of New Year's Evil last night by making him tap in the Steiner recliner. Goodness me. Welcome to the WrestleTalk podcast review of New Year's Evil. I am Chopper P. Quinnell. I'm joined by my intangible co-host, Tempest. And we're going to break it all down today, all of New Year's Evil. We're going to go through it. Get in your Ultra Chats. If you have some thoughts about anything on the show, let us know at WrestleTalk.com/support. And send them in, because then we'll read them out, all the ones that are $5 and up by the time the show goes off the air. Also, yes, Tempest is coming to us from the void, apparently.
From the Tempest Cave.
From the Tempest Cave. Yes, that's exactly right.
Tempest has COVID, y'all. Bam.
Tempest has COVID, y'all. So he is isolating. Yeah, in a hotel room. So that's fun. But lucky we still have Tempest for the show. So send him your well wishes. And yeah, he'll get better soon, hopefully. But regardless, let's get into
this. Nothing that I love doing more when I have COVID than watching NXT.
Absolutely. Well, at least you got to watch a half decent show, because we're going to talk about the main event of this show to start with, which was Bron Breakker versus Tommaso Ciampa for the NXT Championship. I think a lot of people probably saw this one coming after Ciampa defeated Bron Breakker at Halloween Havoc, Bron Breakker pinning Ciampa at War Games. I think a lot of people probably saw Bron Breakker winning here in this New Year's Evil match, which did indeed happen. On the entrance, Bron Breakker smashed a big X of the old NXT logo. He broke it in two. Oh no, the old NXT is dead. That's on the nose, and also looked a bit bad. It looked like it was like polystyrene.
And also not quite what I want my top star to do when it's generally acknowledged that everyone loves NXT, the old one, and not this one.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, it's like Kylo Ren. The past is dead. Kill it if you have to. It's like, that's great if it's like the bad guy doing all that. I don't think Bron Breakker's supposed to be like, you know, an evil Kylo Ren character.
Nah, he's just a guy who hates old because he's new, so he breaks the old logo. Whatever. The match itself, I thought, was decently fun. I thought it was a pretty good match, all things considered. They did a couple throwbacks to their previous thing with the one mistake he made at Halloween Havoc, where he slipped on the rope. He went to go do it another time in the match and then hesitated, and I was like, why even trying it? But you know, he did it anyway, and Ciampa took advantage because he hesitated. Ciampa got busted open. Bron Breakker kicked out Willow's bell. My God, that's crazy. And then he did an Alabama slam through the commentary table. Wow, this is cool. Bron Breakker hit his big gorilla press power slam thing. You can tell he's still a little bit green because he went for the pin on both legs and then remembered that Ciampa was going to put one leg on the rope and he was like, oh no, I need to pin the inside leg. But it was already too late because it was like at like a two count. So then Ciampa had to kick out by holding the rope with his hand instead of his leg, which I thought was quite funny. But you know,
you could hear me go through that entire realization like in real time. Because anytime they're even remotely close to the ropes, I'm just like, well, this is the foot on the rope spot. And sure enough, you know, he goes in and he grabs the outside leg. And I was like, oh, maybe they're not going to do it. Maybe this is the finish. And then it's not like, oh, he grabbed the rope with his arm. And I was like, oh, they got me. It was him going, oh, wrong leg. Oh. And he like does a mad scramble to grab the inside leg instead. Nah, it's whatever.
Yeah, it was a little
doesn't
funny
bother
thing.
Me that much, but
no, it was just a little funny thing. Ciampa came back and did a ton of knee strikes, like took the pad down and did a bunch of knee strikes to Bron Breakker. Got him back in, hit the fairy tale ending, 1-2, and Bron Breakker kicked out. And I legitimately was like, whoa, that's nuts. After like, it was like a proper like flurry of knee strikes into the fairy tale ending, and Bron Breakker kicked out. It was a crazy, crazy near fall, that one. But then Bron Breakker came back. He did his thing off the second rope. He didn't make a mistake this time. He did a bulldog. Mm-hmm. Great. And then he did the Steiner recliner, took the straps down, Steiner recliner, made Tommaso Ciampa tap, and Bron Breakker is your new NXT champion. What did you think of the match overall, Tempest?
Overall, it was pretty good. Yeah, it was pretty solid. I think it's about as solid of a match as I think you can get out of Bron Breakker at the moment. You know what I mean? Like, you can obviously have like a crazy, unbelievable blowaway match if it's like War Games where there's seven other people involved and everything. You can dress it up, and obviously it's War Games, so there's a bunch of plunder and tomfoolery going on. But in a match like this, in a main event match, I think this is about his ceiling currently. You know, obviously, as he continues to progress, that ceiling will get higher and higher, or at least we hope it does. But currently, I think this is about what he is. I think he's about, like, yeah, I thought it was like a 3-star main event, something like that, which is still a good match. It's a really good match. Like, it's good. It's good. It's just like, I saw some people saying that, like, this show was like takeover levels, and I was just like, what? Takeovers were you watching? Like the last year of Takeovers, maybe? Where it's like, yeah, it's a solid show. But I mean, like, goodness, folks, have we already forgotten the heights the Takeovers were at for so long? But otherwise, I mean, I thought the show was good overall. I thought this was like a decently good main event. You know, I think Bron Breakker winning the NXT championship is the direction that I knew that they would go in, you know? But there were still some things that I didn't love about all this. I don't think that Tommaso Ciampa, the character, should ever be tapping out to lose the NXT championship. And I know it's like, oh, you put him in the Steiner recliner, he's got a bad neck, all that sort of thing. I just don't think that his character should have lost a match like this by submission, at least not willingly tapping out. He could pass out or do whatever. But that also plays into the idea that I don't think any part of Tommaso Ciampa's title run this time around has been anywhere near as important as it should have felt, considering what it could have been. You know, like, he won it in like the semi-main event segment of that show, because the Index Wedding was the main event, right? And this is Tommaso Ciampa. He, in my opinion, is the best NXT champion ever. You know, with his first run, at least one of the top tier of guys holding that title, at the very least. Like, come on. Like, this title run should have been like the climb to back to the top of the mountain. He never lost the title. It means the most to him. It's taken him 2 years or however long it was to get back to this title. And he just, like, he wins it in like a decent match in the middle of a show. He has like one title defense. and then loses it again. And like, no part of this ever felt as important as I wanted it to. And it's just, it's disappointing, but I'm hoping that now that they've got the title on their 2.0 guy, they can put like more effort into the title picture, and hopefully we get better things out of it going forward.
Yeah, I think that the thing with Ciampa's character is I don't really feel like he is the same character as he was before. Like, since the 2.0 days, he's now just become like the last vestiges of NXT 1.0, and like, that's his whole character, is he's just like the 1.0 guardian now. And he's fending off the 2.0 guys. And that's the whole thing. Like, the whole stuff with Goldie and all that stuff, like, doesn't really matter anymore, because he's now the 1.0 guy that's stopping all the 2.0 guys from coming in. Like, his whole title run, him winning the title was just, he's the guy that's going to lose to Bron Breakker. That was the point. To me, it already felt like Bron Breakker was inherently already the NXT champion. It was just a matter of time before he beat Ciampa. So I was never invested in Ciampa as the champion this time, because I knew he was just going to lose it to Bron Breakker down the line, kind of thing. So I didn't really, like you said, it just didn't feel very important this whole time round. But you know, it was still a decent match. I don't hate Bron Breakker as NXT champion. Like, again, it's not what I would do if I had the promotion or whatever, but like, I don't hate it. He's okay. He's probably the best, you know, new 2.0 guy that they've had come in. Because I don't know if you count Carmelo Hayes as a 2.0 guy, maybe. I don't know. He's definitely up there. He's interesting. He's fun. You know, he's not Von Wagner at the very least. You know, he's not, you know, some of the other guys that have come in. He's got a lot of upside to him. And it was a decent match. Bron Breakker is NXT champion. I'm curious to see where they go from here. I'm curious to see what they do with Ciampa as well. And I don't know if that's a good curiosity or I don't know what they're going to do with him now kind of feeling. But we'll have to see, I guess. Yeah.
He hitched his wagon to NXT, for better or worse.
Sure did.
You know, and for a long time, that was for the better. Now, maybe not so much. And I don't know if he stays in NXT forever. I don't know if he goes to the main roster. I don't know. I don't know what you do with Tommaso Ciampa. We're going to end up seeing what happens, obviously. But, man, it's tough. It's interesting. I think they'll put more effort into the NXT title picture now that it's on their guy. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, Bron Breakker is several levels below Tommaso Ciampa as a worker. So that doesn't, like, especially when you now look at the NXT roster as opposed to what it was like just a year ago, it doesn't fill me with a ton of confidence on the show going forward. Cause like, okay, we're going to get Bron Breakker against Tony D'Angelo, or we're going to get Bron Breakker against, I don't know, Von Wagner or something.
Grayson Waller.
Yeah. Or what's the guy that just got his head shaved? Duke Hudson. You know, it's like none of these matches like get me excited really at all. And if the idea is still for Bron Breakker to defend against like the other few remaining 1.0 guys, like maybe a Cameron Grimes or a Pete Dunne or something like that, that's a bit better. But I'd also, I don't know, just like the good wrestlers to be in the main event. So I don't know. My opinion of it is just kind of all over the place. I'll wait to see how it all pans out to really judge it. But no, we'll see.
I think I just maybe enjoyed this more than I would have otherwise, because there was some decent wrestling on this show, and that's more than I can normally say for it. Yeah, and there's more than I can normally say for a normal episode of NXT. So I left the show going, huh, that was better than normal. That was good. And maybe that's just conflating with an actual like good idea to put the title on Bron Breakker and the future of that. Who knows?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
But let's see what you guys thought of the thing. Send in your Ultra Chats to WrestleTalk.com/support. And we'll read out all the ones that are $5 and up by the time the show goes off the air. Riot DR comes in to say, so a Steiner is the main champion. Young guys are calling out vets and there's a pole match next week. This smells kind of Russo. Jokes aside, I'm happy Breaker, the magical Steiner, got his moment. It was nice.
Yeah, and Rick Steiner came out and was celebrating with them after the show went off the air.
He did, yes.
But he's not a Steiner.
He's not Steiner. He's Bron Breakker.
Rick Steiner's just a guy. Yeah. Just a guy. He just decided to come out and celebrate. Rick Steiner hasn't been seen in WWE in like 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I don't know either. But like, apparently, did you hear that the Bron Breakker name was Bron Breakker's idea? That was him.
Well, that doesn't fill me with confidence. But...
and like, and he was saying like his premise behind it. He was saying he was like, you know, I just really like the idea of being like the Breakker. I feel like that's a really cool name. I was like, why don't you call yourself the Breakker Rex Steiner? Like you. Have as a nickname, you know? Why has it got two K's in it? I don't know, man.
Why does it have two K's in it?
Why does it have two K's in it, man? Riot DR again said, I'm all right with Ciampa tapping out. In canon, being able to play with his daughter supersedes all else. And in kayfabe, a recliner slash clutch is a spine destroyer. Also, why is Von Wagner? Great question.
You have no idea how many times I asked that in the edited review that will never be seen because technology sucks. I think we can all of us, Pete and I and all of our listeners collectively can all theorize and come up with ideas and stuff. If they had Tommaso Ciampa come out and say that next week and be like, man, he put me in a recliner. I've got a bad neck. I wanted to think about running around and playing with my daughter. I'd be like, perfect explanation. No, nothing wrong with that whatsoever. I'm totally sold. I don't believe for a second they're going to put that much thought into this. You know what I mean? I don't think they're ever going to mention it again.
No, but, because I don't think that puts over it enough because they want Ciampa to just be like, no, he beat me. You know, he was just that good. I just tapped because he's great. And I think that's explanation they want you to have.
Yeah. And I saw somebody say earlier, like, oh, Walter tapped out, so it's okay that Ciampa did it. And it's like the totally apples to oranges. Yeah. You know, nothing to do with one another. Walter tapping out is awesome because he is Goliath he doesn't have like the emotional connection to the belt, you know, whereas Ciampa, like the belt defined who he was during that first title reign. And I wanted that same connection with this title reign and I never got it. And that was more my point, but I don't know. If they say that, if they connect it with the daughter thing, I love that idea, but I don't think they're going to do that.
Yeah, me neither. We'll get into more of your Ultra Chats later on. Keep sending those in at WrestleTalk.com/support, and we'll go through all the ones that are $5 and up by the time the show goes off the air. But for now, let's get into talking about the rest of New Year's Evil as we go through the rest of the show, which started off with the title unification match of Carmelo Hayes versus Roderick Strong. I feel like they sort of shouldn't have said that the winner will be called the North American champion before the match, because it kind of gave away who was going to win.
Like, a little bit.
I don't know, because they just said, like, I mean, it's a title unification match, but really what we're doing is retiring the cruiserweight belt. Like, I feel like they should have said that, you know, whoever wins this match, their title is the defining title, which again would have given away who won, but at least in kayfabe, it keeps up the, you know, the pretense that both of these champions believe that their title is the title to have. Whereas they go, The winner of this match will be called the North American champion. It's like, cool. So that's the important one. So Carmelo's winning. Good to know.
Yeah. And he did.
That was something. And he did. Clean as a sheet. He just won. No interference from Trick Williams or Diamond Mine.
I like that.
He just won.
Yeah.
It was good.
That.
It was a fun match.
I like that a lot.
Yeah, it's a very fun match. That was a weird superplex spot where, like, Roddy, like, I think that I don't know what was supposed to happen here. And I don't know if it was actually a botch or, like, it was supposed to look that way. And it was supposed to be like, oh, both of them got, like, really bad off this. I have no idea. I was very confused coming out of it. Because, like, Roddy fell off the ropes. It was like a controlled fall off the ropes. And then Carmelo Hayes, like, flipped off the ropes like he was going to do a superplex. But also, he then landed and he did the pin on Strong. And I was like, wait, who? What? Who came off worse on that? Was very confused with that spot. No idea what happened. But then he got up and did his leg drop afterwards, and Carmelo won. So, good. Yeah. North American champion, Carmelo Hayes. Great.
Yeah. I thought that Trick Williams was really overacting in this match. You know?
Yep.
Like, I couldn't not look at him the whole time. Like, my eyes were just glued on him, which is not what you want from, like, a second or whatever. You want them to add to the match and not be a distraction like that. I don't know. It might be kind of nitpicky, but, like, man, I was just watching him and he was just like freaking out the whole time, and not in a Malcolm Bivens big eyes, you know, goofball heel manager kind of way. It was just like, all right, let's turn it down a little bit there, pal.
Turn it down a little bit.
But I thought this match was really good. It didn't, not surprising, obviously, as these are two of the guys that are still, like, really top level workers in NXT. And that's really good stuff. You know, I think that it's really sad that we had really high expectations for an NXT Cruiserweight Championship push very recently.
Amen. Reported big plans. Big plans for that Cruiserweight belt. You know, it's going to be like one of the top featured belts in NXT, you know?
They fired the entire 205 Live roster like 2 weeks sure after that. But regardless, that's in the past. As for this show, it's fine. There really isn't an NXT Cruiserweight Championship division. I mean, Joe Gacy was challenging for the damn belt at the last show. So, like, who cares? We're not really losing that much. We don't need that many belts on a show like this. And Carmelo Hayes, I think, is one of, like, it probably at this point is my favorite NXT guy. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You know, as far as, like, I don't really expect a big push out of any of the other 1.0 guys. And he is really talented. I want to see him ascend. I want to see him keep having great matches. And if he's going to do that as North American champion, I'm all about it. This is a really, really solid little opener here. And I think the right guy won.
I agree with every point that you just made. We then got a backstage segment with Tommaso Ciampa and AJ Styles, who was on this show. AJ came in and he was like, good luck defending that belt. And then he like walked off and Ciampa said, welcome back to NXT. And I was like, AJ wasn't from NXT. What are you talking about, Ciampa? It's weird.
She doesn't even go here.
Yeah. it's just weird. It's just a weird line.
Odd.
That's fine. We then got the announcement that the Dusty Tag Team Classic is returning. The men's tournament starts in 2 weeks, and the women's tournament starts in February. Great.
Oh, boy. The women's tag team tournament with two teams.
Wait,
there are two teams and the champions.
Yep, that is correct.
Like...
So you're going to get Raquel Gonzalez and Cora Jade as a team, probably. But how will they coexist?
My God.
Who else? Wendy Chu and Tiffany Stratton? I don't know. I'm just throwing names out now.
There's going to be so many of these thrown together teams. Like, so many of them. Oh, the only teams they have are thrown together teams. At least Toxic Attraction have, like, a name. That's something.
They're a group.
That's something. But they're the champions. Are they going to be in the tournament? They might have to be. They might have to be like, we're the tag team champions, but we want to prove again that we're the best tag team in NXT. Haha, we're going to win the Dusty Classic. And be like, I know what you're doing here. You can't fool me. You don't have 8 teams to fill out a bracket. They don't have 4 teams to fill out half a bracket.
So I might as well mention this now. Because we're talking about the Dusty Tag Team Classic, because later on in the show, we had after the MSK and Riddle versus Imperium match, which MSK and Riddle won, which I'm just not a fan of, but we'll talk about that more later. They had a segment in the parking lot where Riddle scooted off. And then the Creed brothers came up to MSK and said, the only way you're getting a tag team title shot is through the Dusty Tag Team Classic. And I went, why? They've just pinned the champions. By your own rules, WWE, that means they now get a title shot. Why do they?
No, like, Pete, you don't understand. This wasn't a championship contenders match.
No. And I know you can make the argument that Riddle was the one that pinned, so therefore MSK didn't, right? You could make that argument. It's just so strange for them to come up and be like, the only way you're getting a tag team title shot is through the Dusty Classic. It's like, when has that ever applied, and when has that stopped anyone from challenging for any title ever? Like, that's just not a thing. But
yeah,
they're trying to make it interesting, I guess. Like, they've got like 4-5 tag teams now, so that's something. You know, can't wait for the Grizzly Young Vets to be knocked out in the first round. That's gonna be fun.
Oh my God, yeah, honestly. and I mean, like, it was like a real throwaway line here where the Grizzly Young, the Creed Brothers said something like, they talked about like the tournament committee or something like that. And I was like, what committee? Piss off. Like, it's such a throwaway line, but like William Regal is like dead or something. He's taken a sabbatical.
Oh, yeah.
He hasn't been seen on this anymore. Show. There's no authority figures. You got Von Wagner attacking fans later in the show, and William Regal's nowhere to be seen. So don't talk to me about a committee that doesn't exist. Like the Fox and USA War Rooms. It's just a bunch of people that, a bunch of extras they paid $50 a piece.
Oh yeah, there's also
like this that just takes me out of it. Because I hear that and I was like, bullshit. Excuse me.
But yeah, like, that's just wrong.
Incorrect. Like, no, you've lost me.
Very stupid. But yeah, it's going to be Joe Gacy and Harlan that actually win, isn't it?
No. Don't wanna. What happened to Brian Kendrick? Did I miss something? I did watch last week's show.
He, I assume, had COVID. We don't know, but like there was a lot of last minute changes to NXT, and there was apparently part of the outbreak, and he wasn't there. So I assume COVID. I don't know. That's just speculation on my part, but he wasn't there. Like, he no showed. So
okay,
who knows?
That's fair.
It's slightly more understandable. But after that Dusty announcement, we got AJ Styles coming out to the ring, who was in full-on babyface mode here. I know he was positioned as the babyface in the AJ and Omos split angle, but he was like full babyface here, like soaking up the chance for the crowd to be like, oh, my fans, you know, I could never do this without you guys. I've had so many highlights in my career, but that noise, I never get sold. I'm like, that's like full babyface. Goodness me. All right, cool. But he's saying, you know, he does have some regrets in his career. He didn't start in NXT, but now he's here, you know, and now he's never had a one-on-one match in NXT, and now he's going to do it. It's like, why didn't you do this promo 3 years ago? Come on, man.
Can you imagine AJ Styles showing up, like AJ Styles, Gallows and Anderson taking on Undisputed Era in like 2017, 2018? Like,
God. God, it's so good.
It happened again. Go to a different company.
True, yeah. Totally could.
That's not going to happen, but, you know.
Yeah. But then Grayson Waller came out, and he said that the reason AJ lost to Omos on Raw was because he was too concerned of thinking about Grayson Waller. And then AJ said, hey, man, I've never had a one-on-one match in NXT before. I'm in my gear. Why don't we do it right now? And Grayson Waller said, no, I don't want to do it at New Year's Evil. I need a spotlight. What does that mean, Grayson Waller? You're on a TV special with limited ad breaks. What are you talking about, you numpty? And he said, we're going to do it at the main event of a regular episode of NXT next week.
Like, I get it's a heel shtick, you know? But it's dumb. And it's always
it's gonna
be
a heel shtick that makes sense, though. That's the thing.
Right?
Like,
yeah.
And that just doesn't. It's like, we need a spotlight. It's like, you have the biggest spotlight you could have, aside from, like, you know, War Games. Like a takeover level spotlight. This is a TV special. This is a big spotlight. And he said, no, the main event of a normal episode of NXT is obviously much bigger. But whatever. It was fine. So they're going to fight next week.
Cool.
I'm
intrigued. I don't know what the finish of this is going to be. Because, I mean, AJ Styles is AJ Styles. And it's like, damn.
Yeah.
Is he going to lose to Grayson Waller? And if he doesn't, it's like, damn, why are... Yeah. So it's whatever. Whatever.
Yeah.
My thoughts on all this were basically, and I may have said this on a previous podcast, but it's been a few weeks and I got a COVID brain, so, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
AJ Styles having not wrestled the top stars of NXT really does just make me think that, like my idea of priorities in wrestling and WWE's ideas of priorities in wrestling are just so diametrically opposite.
Yeah.
You know, the idea that you've had AJ Styles under contract for 6 years, and at no point during those 6 years could you find a time for him to wrestle Johnny Gargano?
Yeah.
Like, that's a home run right there. Guaranteed, like, five-star, classic, maybe the best match WWE's ever had. Couldn't find a time in 6 years. That's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. But the same thing goes with, like, Adam Cole. And list off as many names as you want from NXT. It just doesn't make sense at all that you have those guys under contract and you don't put them with your best in-ring workers. I mean, for goodness sake, look at the same thing. Like, how many dream matches did we actually get out of Bryan Danielson's return run in WWE? It's like a small handful, you know?
Yeah.
But again, how did we not get Danielson versus Gargano? How did we not get Johnny Gargano against, like, every single top-level worker in WWE? Because their priorities are just so totally different. Yeah. And that, honestly, is just, like, kind of depressing to me, you know? Whereas, like, again, you don't want to compare everything to, like, AEW and stuff. But you look at AEW, and they're just like, oh, we got Bryan Danielson, Kenny Omega, right off the bat. Like, we got to... dream match right here. People want to see MJF and CM Punk. Here it is. Look at the dream match. Yeah. It's what you want. There's so many matches. And I'm not saying that, like, you got to have a dream match like every single month to get people burnt out or anything like that. You know, I'm not saying that. But the matches, look at them. You just put them together and let them do the work. And they don't do that. And it's sad. Also, I felt like this promo really did feel like it should have been cut like a year ago or 2 years ago.
100%.
You know?
Absolutely.
It's like, oh, the NXT fans and the passion and all that. It's like, you know.
not doesn't so quite ring true anymore, but that's okay. He's doing the phenomenal form, but
you gotta say these things because it's the promo. It's the promo, but listening to the promo is like, nah, this is a promo that should have been cut 2 years ago.
He's doing the phenomenal forum, but Grayson Waller got out of the way. So they're gonna have a match next week. Pete Dunne did a promo. He's gonna have a rematch with Tony D'Angelo, which was confirmed later in the show to be a crowbar on a pole match. Oh god. Oh no.
Oh boy.
That's not good.
No. Has there ever been
Tempest? Fact check me on this one. Has there ever been a good blank on a pole match ever?
I don't want to say no, because I feel like there's been dozens of these things. There's probably been a halfway decent one at some point, maybe. But for God's sake, like it's just the dumbest little match. Like, oh, it's on a pole. Let's take the thing that they want. Let's not have a ladder match where they gotta climb. Let's make them climb a fire pole. I'm Vince Russo, bro.
Sure. Yeah. Whatever. We need Luke in here too. His Vince Russo impression. We then had a backstage segment with Casey Catanzaro and Caden Carter, and Amari Miller was also there, and they were chatting. And then Indy Hartwell and Persia Perotta said something. I couldn't tell you what they said. Just something about, like, you're a tag team and we're also a tag team, so yeah. And then they said, well, there's three of us and there's two of you need a third or something. So then they turned around and Tiffany Stratton was there, and she was like, and then went on the phone and said, daddy, all these girls are gross, and then walked off. And then Wendy Chu was there, who's been sleeping a lot, remember, in the background of shots for a few weeks. And then they went up to her and they were like, who are you? And she goes, Wendy Chu. Like, they should know that. And then she, like, went back to sleep or something. That was the whole segment right there.
Show is really dumb. You know, like, this show was better than normal. The show was much better than normal because it was primarily just long matches. It was matches given time, and that's it. Speak of the devil, and he shall appear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hey, Luke.
Did someone ask for a Vince Russo impersonation?
Sure did, because we got a crowbar on a pole match next week.
Crowbar on the pole match is the only way that NXT 2.0 gonna get over, bro. No one wants to see AJ Styles versus Johnny Gargano. They want to see Pete Dunne taking on some other guy with the thing on the pole. You get the pole down, bro. You climb the pole. You grab the thing. You get over, pal. It's the only way. Don't flippity-doo. None of this pyro belly hoopla nonsense. I want to see poles, and I want to see him get over, bro.
Thanks, Luke. He's gone. He took himself out, by the way. He just closed the tab. He was gone. Gone from the back end and everything. Thanks, Luke. Appreciate it, mate. I'm assuming that was the booking process for the crowbar on the pole match. Thank you, Luke. Stuff just happens on NXT. Like, this whole backstage segment was like, what?
Yeah.
I honestly, we spent too much time in it. Who cares? Here's something that took up time, so we also have time to talk about it. Imperium versus MSK and Riddle. So MSK recruited Riddle. He was their shaman after those terrible vignettes. And then you had Walter rejoined up with Marcel Barthel and Fabian Aichner to, like, re-put together Imperium. And I was like, God, you know, I don't like seeing Walter on 2.0, but I do like seeing Walter. Always good, Eddie. As soon as he started coming out, I was like, it's only Walter in it. Oh, now I'm excited. Love Walter. MSK and Riddle had a DJ, apparently.
Yeah.
Who did?
I liked this entrance.
I mean, it was fine. I don't think he did anything because the music played the same as normal. So I thought if you'd had a DJ, you'd have had some, you know.
They remixed the two songs together at the start and then transitioned into the Riddle song.
Definitely wasn't paying attention.
Yeah.
Cool.
That was cool.
Well, in that case, good job, Mr. DJ person. Walter killed everyone. That was fun. He came in the match and he just started running wild and killing everyone. That was good fun. I enjoyed that bit of the match. That was good. And they had some really fun, like, six-man action in this match, like they normally do in WWE multi-man matches. Lots of, like, big dives together and stuff like that. And, like, every time it would be, like, Fabian Aichner or Marcel Bartel would be getting worked over, Walter would come in and he'd kill someone, which was great. That's exactly how Walter should be used. Well, then we got towards the finish of this one where Walter did a big drop kick and I was like, oh God, that's awesome. And then the Imperium guys did some good stuff where they threw off, I can't remember who it was, I think it might have been Wes Lee, and like Fabian Aichner caught him and did like this big brainbuster. And then he kicked out and I was like, oh no, the baby faces are winning, aren't they? Oh no. Mm-hmm. And yeah, they did. Riddle pinned Marcel Bartel with an RKO. Which, like, I have so many mixed feelings about this because I understand why you want the babyfaces to win because they've just, MSK are back, they got their shaman. You don't want to have that storyline not pay off, you know? You need them to get a big win on their comeback because you want to pay off that shaman story. They've refound themselves. They're going to be challenging for the tag team titles again soon. I understand you want to give them a big win, but also you've just reunited Imperium. And they're the tag team champions. And also it's Walter. So like, you know, this is the first thing that he's probably done since losing the UK title. So like, I feel like he shouldn't have lost in this match. So I don't know. I personally would have had Imperium win. But that's just me. It's really hard for me to tell whether I didn't like this result because I personally like Imperium or because it was a bad booking choice. Because I don't know whether I'm just a fan of the people that lost, you know?
I think it's a bit of both. I think it's a bit of both because the idea that Riddle is the one that gets the pin and then he leaves NXT is the complete opposite of what this style of booking is supposed to do. You're supposed to use the main event stars or the big stars who come in for a 2 or 3 week run, and then they give the rub to the younger guys that are going to be there every week, make them look like the stars, and then you move on and you forget that the big guy will not forget that he was there, but he's gone now, and now they're still there, so you make them the talking point. They didn't do that. Like, if MSK was going to beat Imperium, MSK should have beaten them. Riddle should not have gotten the pin here, and that's just that, you know? And that completely takes that, because you can beat the tag champions in a six-man match in order to get a title shot. I don't think that is like horrendous booking, you know, because that's pretty standard because there's extraneous circumstances that make it so the tag team can't work as best as they normally should. In theory, that's the idea. But when you actually look at it in a vacuum, it doesn't work. Because you've got, it's not just, oh, they added a third person to their team and they lost because of it. No, it's Walter. It's the leader of their faction. The three of them are a faction. Riddle and MSK are not. They're kind of close. It's not just thrown together. There is some storyline there. But I don't think that the faction should be losing to the non-faction. And it's just bad. It's whatever. It doesn't matter that much, but it matters even less when you think that they're not getting a title shot based off of this. They got to go through the stupid Dusty Cup. It's whatever. It's all over the place. I don't expect good booking from NXT, but it's just like, it was a fun match though, so I don't want to complain too much about it. Like, Riddle's great. MSK are still really good in ring. Imperium, it's a really fun clash of styles. Walter has the most unique style in WWE, so all of his matches feel fun and different. It's just good, you know? I love Walter. Yeah. I love him with all of my heart.
I said
this yesterday during my edited review, which no one will ever see. Can we do like, can we work with, probably not, but can we work with them to set up like a charity stream where I'll take one chop from Walter for every $1,000 that we raise? I've given up my body once for this. Yeah. I'll do it again.
Yeah.
Like, hey, you got to turn down charity, WWE. You got to turn down some, we're going to make kids happy or something. I don't know. Pick a charity. I don't care which one. Let's make a difference.
Yeah. I'd like to do that.
Brutalize.
Get in contact, WWE. Yeah. I would have thought that with the announcement of the Dusty Cup and with MSK needing to go through the Dusty Cup to get another shot anyway, I would have thought that the story would be that they'd lose. Riddle would maybe take the pin here. You could have Walter pin him to like protect Riddle in defeat. But you could have him take the pin here, and then he can be like, all right, look, you can't just come back and expect to still be at the top. You need to earn your way back to another title shot. That was my bad. I'm going to have to go back to Raw now, but you guys have got the Dusty Cup, and I know you guys are never going to give up. So I know you guys can scratch and claw your way through that Dusty Cup, and now you're on the right track again. I know that you can get back to the tag team titles, win that Dusty Cup, and get your tag team title shot. I would have felt like that would have been fine if Imperium won.
Yeah, and even like if they just didn't do this match, and they just did the story that MSK is trying to return to what they were, and the only way that they can do that is by winning the Dusty Cup, which would be fine considering I don't even know if they'd had a match since losing the titles, or they've just been having their adventure. You know, if that's just the case, like they haven't won or had a match in months. So it makes sense that they should have to go through the Dusty Cup to earn a tag team title shot. But no, that doesn't make sense because you had them beat the tag champion.
Mm-hmm.
Just don't do that.
Yeah. We're going to run through some of the rest of this because we've still got a few things to talk about. Joe Gacy and Harland are going to be competing in the Dusty Cup, but they don't want to get straight in. They want to prove that they're a legit tag team or whatever. They don't want handouts. So they're going to earn their way to get into it and qualify or something. Sure, whatever.
Good for them.
Mandy Rose arrived in a helicopter before her match, which we'll talk about in a second. But first, we need to talk about Electra Lopez, who says that she's attracted to success. So it's going to be Zion Quinn versus Santos Escobar, and the winner leaves with Electra Lopez. I'm pretty sure this was a plot point in Fast and Furious Tokyo Drift. So, the best movie of the series.
We're going to have an Electra Lopez on a pole match.
Yeah, legit. Christ. Whatever. I don't really care. I'll be honest.
Yeah, the last match that these two had was like meh, so I'm not super excited for the rematch, but hopefully after this the storyline can be done and over with.
Yeah. But then we had, as previously mentioned, the arrival of Mandy Rose in a helicopter for the Triple Threat Women's Championship match. Raquel Gonzalez, Cora Jade, and Mandy Rose. It's helicopter versus motorbike versus skateboard. The match
a
we
mini
all
skateboard.
A mini skateboard, specifically. Yeah.
I wonder who's going to win. They should have had a race.
They should have had a race. That's what they should have done, Tempest. You're right. That would have been the way to settle it. This match was pretty decent, though. I enjoyed it. Pretty decent pace through it. It had the standard kind of formula of going like singles match, one person rolls up, singles match, one person rolls up, singles match for a little while. They had some stuff interacting with all three of them. There's a few weapons during like the ad breaks, some kendo sticks and stuff like that. But then there was a weird bit of the match where Cora Jade got taken out of the match by Raquel Gonzalez on the outside of the ring. And then Mandy Rose, who, by the way, has been fighting in this match for like 10 minutes. Without an issue. She's just been, you know, wrestling like a wrestler for like 10 minutes. Cora Jade then gets thrown outside the ring. Raquel Gonzalez inside the ring. And Mandy Rose starts looking down at Cora Jade like, oh no. No, Cora Jade. Oh,
killed her.
No, she's dead. Like, oh no. What? No. And then Raquel Gonzalez is like, you should get in the ring and fight me. And then Mandy Rose starts to run away? Why?
There's so much of this that didn't make any sense.
Like, what? Like,
this match was Mandy's idea.
Yeah, this was Mandy's plan.
After a street fight. after Raquel Gonzalez murdered Dakota Kai dead. Murdered her. She knows what she's capable of. But because there was one gorilla press slam, she's just like, can't wrestle this woman. She's too much for me.
Too much now. And like, if she'd been like running away through the rest of the match, if she'd been like avoiding conflict the whole match, and then finally like Raquel had like taken out Cora Jade and was like, right, you and me, let's go. And Mandy was like, uh-oh, I done goofed. I need to run away. That makes way more sense than her actually having a normal ass match for like 10 minutes. And then because of one gorilla press, she's like, I better run now. Like, wait, why? Mm-hmm. What? I thought you were what? You were holding your own fighting perfectly normally. Like, what's going on? It was a poorly told story, is basically what we're trying to say. I feel like there's a modicum of story in there. It's told very poorly. But then she gets in and wrestles Raquel a bit. She gets choke bombed, but then Cora Jade breaks up that pin. They were telling this bit where Cora Jade was finally going to get her moment. Cora Jade crawling towards Mandy Rose to do a roll up. Shining Cora Jade moment with a roll up. And then Mandy rolled up Cora Jade and said that she won. Lol.
You're giving that way too much credit. this was the worst looking roll up finish I think I've ever seen.
It was not good. It was not good.
I don't want to be harsh, but I did not think this match was very good. It was just like, it wasn't like train wreck horrible. It wasn't like a terrible match. No. It just was like, this was a match that felt like it was on a developmental show, which you could argue this is.
But I could also argue
that it's just a bad show, you know, in general, not this week's episode in particular, but in general. They seem to really love putting the green person in really complicated matches.
Right.
Which is a really, really stupid idea. And we saw this like with the there was like the ladder match that was ridiculous a few weeks or a few months ago, whatever. And then there was like another triple threat match. I don't remember which of them was involved, you know, the one triple threat match where someone got hurt and the whole match fell apart. Mm-hmm. It was like Io Shirai, Persia Parada, and somebody else. You know, it just wasn't like, stop putting the green people in matches that are more complicated than they need to be. Because you can put Cora Jade in a match like this and not just put all of the crazy spots together involving her. You know, mm-hmm. like you can, I don't want to say dumb it down because that's not the point of all this. You know, but you can hide the green person amidst the more experienced workers, which should be the point, to hide the weaknesses and show off the strengths. But they seem so content to just do everything possible to show off the weaknesses of the performance. And I don't understand that. I really don't understand it. You know, and it's fine. It's whatever. It's not that big a deal. The match was still like, I watched it. And I didn't like hate my life while I was doing it, but I watched this just being like, this doesn't feel like as big of a match as it probably should have. And then the match was real botchy, and I was like, nah. Mm-hmm. It left a bad taste in my mouth, but what can you do?
It seems to me like since 2.0 has launched, it seems to me that like they expect all these very green wrestlers to suddenly be as experienced and as smooth workers as all the NXT 1.0 people. It's like, well, that's not the same, because all the NXT 1.0 mm-hmm. people had years and years of experience on the indies before they came to NXT. Whereas these guys are brand new, and they go, okay, we're just going to do all the same stuff. We're going to do all the same matches, but here's all the new people. And it's like, but they can't work to the same level as all the old people. So it just comes off as them being looking very inexperienced, because they are. And that's not great for the whole product. It makes it very amateurish.
Look at the people that are now running this show, right? It's like Vince McMahon and Bruce Pritchard and whoever. They've never done developmental TV. Ever. You look at all of the developmental systems that WWE has ever had, none of them were run by Vince McMahon, as far as like hands-on, this is how we write the show, blah, 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 this is how I want the matches. Never. Never, ever, ever. But because NXT is this weird, like, Franken show of half developmental, half main roster show, and he's sitting at the top of it now with his minions kind of overseeing everything, it's playing out like a main roster show with developmental talent, and that is a very poor mix, because that's not how you develop talent. You look at the way that, you know, Jim Cornette ran OVW. You look at the way that, Jody Hamilton ran Deep South Wrestling. You look at the way that Les Thatcher ran Heartland Wrestling in, Cincinnati. Like, there's all the different ways that you can develop talent properly by putting the young people in there with experienced people and showing off their strengths, hiding their weaknesses, and developing their talent and their everything. This is not how it's done. But they don't know how it's done because they've never done it. So I don't know that I should be upset, but also don't take Triple H out of the spot that he was good at because you lost AEW.
Yeah. Man. But it's okay, Tempest. But it's okay. Do you know why?
Be there. Yeah.
Do you know why it's okay, Tempest? You ready?
Why is it okay?
Hold on. I'm seeing double here. Four boas.
Oh, man.
Oh, no.
I'll be honest. He came on the screen. I went to the bathroom. I was like, I'm not doing it this week. I've got color. I'm not wasting my time watching Boa look in a mirror or something.
He looked in a mirror. He washed his face and he was like, well, I can't control it. Please just let me face Solo Sikoa by myself. And then he washed his face and he looked up and there was another Boa next to him with face paint on. Four Boas. I don't even... What?
Oh, man.
It's very stupid. Yeah. We then had the MSK really Creep Brothers thing. I'm not going to talk about Boa anymore. MSK Creep Brothers thing happened. And then we had Andre Chase coming out to the ring. And this was stupid because he was saying, you missed this segment last week, Tempest. Oh, boy. Where Andre Chase got beaten up. Yeah, Andre Chase got beaten up. And then some dude in an Andre Chase University sweater was like checking on Andre Chase, being like, oh, my God, are you okay? Andre, are you okay? Oh, my God, Andre Chase. Oh my God. And then Harland picked him up. And then way later in the show, we saw Harland on the roof with the guy. And then Joe Gacy was like, I think he's learned his lesson. So then he put him on the roof and then they walked off. That was the segment. That was the whole thing from last week.
You know what my reaction to that would have been?
Mm-hmm. Oh. That's good.
It really tickled me when I saw that. It really did.
Very good mask from that person in particular. Goodness me, that's a great mask. But anyway, so this week, Andre Chase came out and he was like, due to that man's actions that was looking out for me last week, he gets a full Andre Chase University scholarship. And I was like, what does that even mean? You don't have a university. What does that mean?
So stupid. So stupid. You know, like, okay.
Also, I thought he was a heel. What's going on?
Sure. This guy got student of the month. Congratulations. You know, like, Timothy Thatcher, because Andre Chase is just a cartoon version of Timothy Thatcher. Sure. Timothy Thatcher won his matches. So it made sense that people would want to learn to wrestle from him. Andre Chase is a loser who loses all of his matches. It does not make sense that there are people that want to pay him to learn anything, but I just want someone to tell me what the point of this is. And if there isn't a point, stop doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Again, they dedicate so much time to Andre Chase and whatever all of this is, and there's no point to any of it. And that's why I feel like half of this show is a waste of time. Because we still get so much time dedicated to people that don't matter. Well, like the great, next guy.
Great segue, Tempest. Because here comes Von Wagner. Oh my God.
Von Wagner, you say?
That's
not what he called himself. Man messed up his own name. Like, you people come out here to see Von Wagner. Just absolutely gobsmacked by Von Wagner's existence every time I see him. He was a ghost on SmackDown that one time that was never brought up again. Apparently his call-up was nixed by Vince. I don't know. And then he comes out here, he messes up his own name, he starts attacking fans. What? What is the point of any of this?
Von
why couldn't
Wagner.
His name have been? Why couldn't his name have been Baron von Wagner?
Like that's, much better.
That's a much better name. Is it because we already had one Baron, and apparently two people can have the same title.
But now he's gone from Baron to Happy, which is a different title, I think. So
yeah,
can't
so
have that
give
anymore.
Him Baron von Wagner.
Yeah. Also, he's he came out and cut a quick promo. And he said, when I step in the ring, I become your new favorite superstar. I was like, nobody said that. Not one person. Find me. Find me the one person that has said Von Wagner is my new favorite superstar.
Can I get a shirt that just says, like can it be the shirt of shame? Like, if you lose Wrestle League, you have to wear a shirt on a podcast that says Von Wagner is my new favorite superstar. God, this show sucks. No, it doesn't. It doesn't. And I say that too often. It just comes out of me when I'm talking about NXT. This show was fine, but anything that wasn't wrestling on this show was this. Was Von Wagner. Von Wagner.
Von Wagner, yeah.
Von Wagner.
Yeah. We then got more Von Wagner, because he was being escorted out of the building after attacking some members of the audience. And then he laughed at Ivy Nile and Roderick Strong. And I'm assuming that's probably going to lead to a Roderick Strong-Von Wagner feud, which is what everybody wanted.
Poor Roddy. He's looking on the outside and seeing the rest of Undisputed Era having fun. Mm-hmm. He's feuding with Von Wagner. They took Von Wagner from Kyle O'Reilly and gave him to Roderick Strong.
God. Cameron Grimes then recapped his 2021 and said this time he's going to start looking for some gold. 2020 to the moon.
Woo. Yeah, I don't know how he hasn't been a North American champion or something yet. Seems like the kind of tier of guy. Yeah.
Yeah. He challenged for it when Keith Lee was champ, but I think he lost. So, yeah, maybe now he can go after Carmelo. That'd be a fun feud. I'd be into that. Carmelo with Cameron.
Let's do it. That sounds fun. Yep.
Then we had the main event match that we'd already spoken about, Bron Breakker and Tommaso Ciampa. That was the show overall. By the normal standard of NXT 2.0, the normal weekly TV standard, this is a 7 out of 5. As an actual wrestling show, this is probably like a 3 or a 4. I'm going to go with a 4. I left with that wasn't bad. That was good.
I thought it was like a high 3, you know, which might sound harsh because I know people really like this show, but I wasn't like totally blown away by any of the matches on this show. I thought the opener was good. I thought the 6-man tag was good. I thought the main event was good, but like, I don't know. I didn't see a whole lot that was just like, bam, you got to go out of your way to watch this match.
That's very fair. Yeah. I thought it was a good show, and that's what, and that's significantly better than normal.
Usually when we say it's a 3, it's because like, oh, there's something good on the show, and then there's a bunch of like utter garbage on the show, so it balances out to being a 3. This was like, no, it was just solid in the middle 3, good show. That's my rationale behind it. He's like, yeah, it's solid.
Yeah. Let's get into the rest of your Ultra Chats here, though, and finish those off. Last chance to get those in at WrestleTalk.com/support. We'll go through all the ones that are $5 and up by the time the show goes off the air. Nicholas Lama said, here's the sad news. I don't think the 2.0 crowd cares who Walter is, which is depressing as all hell. Also don't think that Riddle makes MSK any cooler or bearable.
Well, I mean, he's not a miracle worker.
Not exactly.
Yeah,
which is a shame because Walt is amazing. I don't know how, I mentioned this last week, I don't know how you can have MSK get booed, go away and do terrible vignettes week on week on week, come back and get cheered. How does that work?
Maybe, because I mean, it's the same people that go to these shows, right? You know, it's more or less the same crowd. It's the same 300 people in Florida. So maybe they just don't pay attention to vignettes and stuff when they air during the building. And they just haven't seen these guys in like 6 months or 4 or 5 months now. and they just see them again and go, hey, it's MSK again. You know, that's my best explanation. You take them off TV, you take people off NXT 2.0 and their stock rises. It's an indictment, but what can you say?
I here's my conspiracy theory. I reckon that the crowd are not necessarily paid, but they're instructed on how to react. I reckon.
It's like an applause sign.
Or it's like a, you know, it's like, here's how we want you to react.
Yeah.
You should do that. And people are like, okay, maybe. Because I haven't heard, you know, we always get people being like, oh, I went to AEW last night. It was such a good time. Like on Raw Review yesterday, we had people being like, oh, I went to Raw yesterday. It was a really good time. I was like, that's awesome. That's great. I'm not once have I heard someone be like, oh, it's part of the NXT crowd recently. You know? Like not one person. So like if someone's been part of the NXT crowd, please get in contact with me. I want to know if they are actual fans in that building or if it's like they're instructed or they're paid. I don't know. A conspiracy. Put your tinfoil hat on because they react to a lot of stuff that I did not think they'd react to, you know? I don't know. Anyway, Jack Nichols said that show was all right. Not as good as the takeover, not by a forestry mile. Sure. Welcome. I get it. Forest. I get it. Well done, Jack. I appreciate your humor. Welcome back, Tempest. Hopefully you can rein in Pete. He's been on a rampage. Dude talking about all sorts of secretion since you've been on and blaming co-hosts. So
I don't want to know. I don't want to know.
All I can say is, Tempest, it was Andy, so inevitably we spoke about poo, because that's what Andy does.
For God's sake.
I know. Hannah Allen said, mentioned last Ultra Chat, I wasn't WWE active. Turns out I'm silly, lol. I'd been active till the other night. Can still New Year's Eve or New Year's Evil. Turns out you can cheat code. I didn't use them, though, because let's face it, not me. I like the set. Hashtag LIW444 life. I don't know what you said, Hannah, I'll be honest.
Sometimes they're easier to decipher than others. Yeah, I hope the drink was good, Hannah.
Message me on Patreon, Hannah, to tell me what you actually meant, because she often messages to be like, this is what I actually meant. James Handley says, with just his head and his arms visible, I think Tempest is Haunter's new Canadian form. In regards to NXT, remember that mass hallucination we all had when we thought we saw Von Wagner on SmackDown? That's what I'm saying. Never forget. It's the best segment of 2021.
Yep. Never forget. Sami Zayn, it's a conspiracy. He's the only person that can see him.
Yeah, absolutely. Always Be Scamming says, I haven't been watching WWE since the Keith Lee release, but I have watched most of the reviews while at work. Based on how you talk about NXT 2.0, my money is on Jacket Time winning the Dusty Classic. Yeah, they're going to, aren't they?
Like, pick whichever is the worst option, and that's the one they're going to do. Is it Harland and Gacy, or is it
Jacket
these
Time.
Two?
Yeah. Hope all is well with everyone in the WrestleTalk fam. Thank you very much. Always Be Scamming. Riot DR says, me again. I forgot to tell Tempest Happy New Year and that I wish for only good things to happen to him. Also have a bad idea. Von Wagner becomes Tony D's silent and violent muscle. Tony gets booze and Wagner doesn't have to talk. LIW for life. You know, it's better than him coming out and cutting promos.
Yeah, if it means Von Wagner doesn't have to talk. His only strength is that he's big. So if you just want him to stand behind somebody, cool. That's a good use of his talents.
Perseus M said, I know the perfect charity that WWE would love to work with, the World Wildlife Fund.
Nice.
I like it.
Funny.
Perfect, yeah. Let's get that going. Let's get the water chops going. Let's get a hashtag going. Hashtag Tempest Water Chops for charity.
For charity. It's a bit long. We'll work on
catchy.
It.
Catchy. Yeah. Well, it's catchy. We'll brainstorm it. It'll be fine. forgive me, Tempest, for getting that wrong. Bron Breakker, the magical wizard.
It's close enough, I suppose. It's a W
What's
word.
It even called? I can't even think of the actual word. What is it?
A warrior?
Oh, yeah, magical warrior. Right, yeah.
Bron Breakker, right, the magical warrior.
That's the one. I forgot what the actual thing was. Anyway.
Did you get a Tempest shirt that's a Yu-Gi-Oh card? I think that would be fun.
I feel like you should just get like a custom Yu-Gi-Oh card that is Tempest. You know? Just have it to have a Tempest, an actual physical Tempest Yu-Gi-Oh card. You know?
That exists, though. Doesn't have my face on it.
We should sell it. We should sell our own Tempest Yu-Gi-Oh cards.
We should just sell Yu-Gi-Oh cards. It'll really drive up the revenue of the company. We just start selling Yu-Gi-Oh cards. We start selling Pokemon cards, Magic the Gathering. You know, we just transition away from this wrestling thing. No one cares about that.
We'll make fine. This... Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll just make this nerd card talk or something.
I was looking at, because we've got some new potential merch designs coming soon that we've been reviewing, just like company-wide. Like a lot of us have been throwing in our feedback. We've got a load of designs. We've been looking back at them. I was showing my my lady partner these designs because she knows nothing about wrestling at all. And I was like, from like an outsider's perspective with no context of all the wrestling context and all these t-shirts, what do you think of the actual like designs? Do any of them jump out at you? Do any of them like just look nice, you know, all that stuff? And and she was going through it and she picked some of them, and I got afterwards and she was like, the hell is a Boston crab? And I was like, oh yeah. Those things sound really weird. She's like, that's a chicken wing. I was like, oh, yeah, yeah, it's really weird when you don't actually have the context of what a wrestling move is. That was a unique experience, just coming from the outside. But then she pitched me an idea. She was like, you know, I feel like you should do something for like for people like me. If it's like, you know, like the partner or like the wife of like a wrestling fan, maybe that's something. I was like, the thing is, that's a niche of a niche because wrestling fans don't really have wives. So, you know.
You're right.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. So that's the issue.
Do we not have wives or do none of us have partners?
We don't have wives specifically.
Okay. We don't specifically have wives. All right. You're off the hook for now. For now.
I just thought that was very unique because obviously she comes up with a lot of ideas and stuff, and it's the thought was nice, but it's like just for like for partners of wrestling fans, I was like, I don't know if that's a huge population, I'll be honest.
I have a question. This topic of conversation has taken a thought out of my head.
Yes.
So you got like you got Boston crab, right?
Mm. Yeah.
And you got a chicken wing.
Mm.
How big of a meal can we make with just wrestling moves? I got to giggle. That means I'm on the right.
Yeah, you're on to something. You're on to something. Yeah, it's good.
I'm on
to
something here.
The barometer
of Boston crab.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Boston crab, you got a chicken wing. How many other food related things can we mix into this pot to have a lovely little meal here of wrestling moves?
Let's see. Just trying to think of move names which I now can't think of any.
Every single move name that you've ever thought of has left your mind.
Yeah, has now gone. And the ones I'm thinking of are like choke slam. It's like, nope, that's not gonna do it, is it? Email us support@wrestletalk.com if you've got any wrestling move
the
names.
Peanut butter and pickle slam.
Oh great, yeah, that's perfect. I now can't think of literally anything. My mind has gone blank from food that's also you've stumped me, Tempest.
Hey, now.
The rest of this podcast.
It's not like
just
you've come last in Quizlemania or anything.
Hey, man, you're not providing any suggestions yourself, all right? It's not just me.
There's something called like a salad shooter, isn't there? That's a wrestling move, isn't it?
Sure.
I could be wrong.
Yeah, why not?
Orange punch. Orange punch. That could be the drink.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
That's
pretty
good. Yeah. You've done it.
Yeah.
Let's.
Could you have how edible is Cobra?
Cobra? I don't think you would want to eat Cobra. I'm sure somewhere in the world it's considered a delicacy.
And what part of the camel is the clutch in particular?
So you're trying to eat Cobra and camel.
Maybe.
Oh, Pete. I don't want to go to your house for dinner.
Hey, this is an interesting.
I've gone to Wikipedia.
Oh no.
I'm looking I'm trying to bring up the list of professional wrestling moves and attacks and throws.
Okay.
And see which of these have possibly edible names.
Uh-huh.
I mean chops. I suppose chops could be pork chops.
That's good. You know, chops is good. Thank you, bodiless voice. See,
the floating bodiless voice.
Yes.
Chops is a pretty decent one.
Chops is good. Yeah. We're starting to get a little bit of a feast. Oh, I've not plugged in my light again. Hold on.
Pete, how am I the one who's now properly lit?
I'm so bad at this, Tempest.
Yeah. This podcast has already gone off the rails, but it's fine. It's fine. I'm sure somewhere. Oh yeah. Wow. So you're not good at this.
When my light just went out. And then for the whole time I was trying to set it up and I couldn't figure out why it had gone out. And I was like, Andy, can you keep talking? And he was like, well, I guess we'll just wait for Pete to come back. I was like, Andy, talk about the show. Keep doing the review.
He's a professional.
He sure is. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
What else we got?
Let's get into. So I think you could eat frog in certain cultures. You know, that would be like a frog splash, perhaps.
Yeah.
Let's see. The fish hook.
Okay. Fish. Yeah, but you're specifically eating the fish hook itself. That's a bit weird.
Listen. Don't worry about that part. Don't listen. Okay. Don't listen to that part. I mean, that's the future name of the best tag team of all time anywhere. Fish, Bobby Fish and Hook, of course.
Can't wait for that.
Apparently there's an old move called a sugar hold.
We'll take it.
You just eat some sugar. there is apparently a move called a mushroom stomp.
A mushroom stump. Okay.
Yeah, so you can add some mushrooms to this.
Add some mushrooms to your camel. This is good. Yeah.
Add some mushrooms to your camel.
Yeah.
Why not?
Wrestle Talk podcast out of context. Yeah.
Yeah. The bit from the description here says mushroom stomp. While situated on the middle turnbuckle, a wrestler jumps over a charging opponent, driving one or both feet into the opponent's back, pushing the opponent into the turnbuckle or down to the ground before landing on their feet. The technique's name is a reference to the stomping attacks used by the video game character Mario.
The more you know.
The more you know. Which Mario fan was like, I got an idea one day. Was like, this little sausage right here is going to be the inspiration for my finisher.
Yeah.
Goodness me. I don't know. This is a weird topic.
Wahoo! Yeah.
I'm going to keep looking, but if you want to take this conversation that's fine.
When you were talking, I came up with another one. Oh, this isn't a move, but it's a shameful thing. Lobster head. I mean, come on. You got to have a lobster head in there.
You got to have lobster heads. That counts
as a wrestling thing, right?
Yeah. Why wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't it?
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Cool. Got a lobster head. We're getting a feast here, Tim.
Oh
my
God.
This is a proper feast. I'm loving this.
Oh, I need a good feast. There's a scorpion deathlock. You can eat scorpions in some cultures.
Of course you can. Yeah, that's great. Love it.
It's probably pretty crunchy.
Deathlock. Yeah.
I'm sure in some cultures you can eat bear. You can have a bear hug.
Yes.
It's a Russian dish. I don't know if Russians eat bear or if they just hunt them.
It's the bear hug. This is it.
Genuinely, Daniel Bryan marking out over bear related things on Saturday Morning Slam is one of the funniest things that WWE has done. And it's from like
so good.
It's from their stupid like children's show that lasted like a few months or whatever.
Saturday morning. How did they
manage to actually get good content out of that? They just let Daniel Bryan be himself, and Daniel Bryan is funny.
So funny. Oh my god. If you guys haven't seen that, by the way, legitimately go to YouTube and watch it, because it is just him talking about wrestling bears, and then I can't remember who's in the match, but someone does a bear hug, and then he goes, "It's the bear hug. This is it." It's the funniest thing. It's so good. Yeah, would highly recommend. Bryan Danielson, a funny man, some might say.
I want to see him face like Bear Country and have it all come full circle now in AEW. Yes!
Oh, that'd be so good. Or he just starts managing Bear Country. Like, this guy is a bear! You ever suplexed a bear?
Oh,
that would be
amazing. Have you ever suplexed a bear? I need to hear Bryan Danielson, ultra serious wrestler, say, "Have you ever suplexed a bear?"
I love that man. He's the greatest.
Oh, he's just great.
Yeah. But speaking of more of great things, please send in more your emails to support@wrestletalk.com and tell us more of the food we can have that is wrestling moves. Also, give us your feast of wrestling moves.
There's a Steiner screwdriver. That's
okay. Trend. That's good. That's good. Yeah.
You can have like your orange punch. I need a little bit of kick with mine. Mm-hmm. So
totally.
A Steiner screwdriver.
I like it. Yeah. And you can have it while sitting on your Steiner recliner. Yeah.
Tying it all back together just for us to go live, which doesn't mean anything for the people listening to this, because this will be after and this and that, but it's before for us. You know how it is. Whatever. I'm tired.
You know how it be. Anyway, that's going to do it. It was a jawbreaker. Jawbreaker.
Candy, that's dessert.
Good. That's good.
I didn't think like any of these. My partner's much smarter than I am.
Yeah, clearly. thank you for listening. We'll be back tomorrow. It's going to be me and Luke doing the AEW Dynamite review tomorrow. The first one on TBS. We're getting Wang Man versus Danielson 2. Yay. That's exciting. And like loads of other stuff. It's going to be a good show, hopefully. So we'll be back tomorrow with that. We're going to have the Friday show like normal. It's going to be me and Tempest back on Saturday for Rampage and SmackDown like normal. Yay. Getting back into the swing of things for 2022. Thanks for listening. Appreciate y'all. Stay safe. We love you very much. Goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.